Father, we come in that wonderful name of your beloved Son, Jesus. And Lord, we come with thanksgiving and believing you that your word is true and your word is for us. And your word works effectually like dynamite power in them that believe. God, oh, how you have just poured out the word to us. God, help us to believe. Lord, let us not be slow to believe this word anymore, but quick. God, lay hold of it to say truly, well, my Father said it so, and that's that. It's time to come into the house of the Lord, and Lord, to sit and to take that place, God, that you have given. Lord, we're seated in the heavens in Christ. God, help us to respond in that appreciation, to acknowledge, Lord God, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, born Lord of all. Oh, hallelujah. Help us to grow up into it. God, take this word and work it effectually into us today. Lord, only you can do it. May it be you that speaks, your spirit, and truly in power and demonstration of the mighty love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll begin in Hebrews chapter 6 today. And we'll swing on over to Daniel 9. And Lord willing, touch in Romans 8. So that's Hebrews 6 to begin. We'll go on over to Daniel 9 and Romans 8. We begin today in the 17th verse of Hebrews chapter 6. It says there, wherein God willing more abundantly. Isn't that wonderful? You talk about what a much the more we live in, amen? But more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's you and me, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two imputable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. This is reward time, brothers and sisters, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I read that, and I'll tell you what, I am so thankful to God for the encouragement he gives us to truly lay hold of the hope of his calling, that hope that he's put before us. Praise be to God. I'm so thankful to, you know what, let's just flee to that place of refuge. I thought that was so sweet. His brother was bringing that out on Friday. And I'm talking about a hope, brothers and sisters, of all hope and all the things that are mine. Praise God. Now with that, let's listen to our hope over here in Daniel chapter 9. It's time to get in some good prophecy, brethren. And in Daniel 9, verse 27, this is speaking of the time, of the moment of time, of the beginning of the tribulation. The moment of time the bride will be taken. The moment of time the age, the Gentile, will be complete at that time. And thanks be to God, this will be the time that time shall be no more. No more time to get ready. Verse 27. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many, with Israel. So the Antichrist is going to confirm a covenant with Israel for 1 week. That's the 7 years. So we know that when this happens, it's the moment in the beginning of the tribulation. And what is that? Well, here you go. In the midst of the week, so when you get to the middle of the week, he's going to cause that covenant that he's made to be broken. And here's how it's going to be broken. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. of all the prophecies in the Word of God, brothers and sisters, of the moment of the coming of the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. This is it. This really is it. Overlooked often, passed by so quickly, this is the agreement that will happen at the beginning of the week. This is the event of the earth that kicks off the tribulation. And you see this Antichrist here. I'll tell you what, he's moments away of coming on the scene. And that's the truth. I believe he's already here, but it'll be known here shortly. And he's going to form an alliance with Israel. And that's exactly what the Word of God tells us. And this alliance assures us that the Jews, and see, we know that over this past century, the Jews have been recognized as a nation. But they haven't been recognized as a nation with their full constitutional and character and king, if you will. But it's coming. And you can see it coming. And more importantly, besides that, they're going to be welcomed and encouraged, and there's going to be a fake, false euphoria for them to go and perform the traditions and sacrifice an oblation, and it's going to be acknowledged. And I'm confident it's going to be right there at the Temple Mount. Now, I've heard one say, well, you know, it's not going to be necessarily the sacrifice like they would bring in the lamb or the goat and to do that. It won't, they say, it won't be that. You know, it'll just be the prayers and different things of that nature. Well, you go ahead and tell that to the about 200 or 300 over the last couple years that have gone in their priestly garments up on the Temple Mount. Many of them got arrested, but they had their goats without blemish and they were going. Just a year ago, 1 year ago, they actually opened it up. And there were many hundreds that went up there. And they had a complete reenactment of the Passover at that time. Complete. The only thing that was lacking, they did not allow them to kill the goat there. They killed it down and then brought it up. And they all had the Seder dinner right there on the Temple Mount. They can't help but do what God said that they would do. This is exactly what's coming forth. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We're at the moment that it's not going to be a reenactment anymore. It's not going to be a reenactment. It's just going to happen, and they're going to say, well, come on up. Because it's the time of peace and plenty. Now, brothers and sisters, we are at the moment that they're going to commence that sacrifice. And praise be to God, at that moment, hallelujah, the bride is going to be taken. That's what's so beautiful. There's so many things that are going on right now. We just need to be aware of the Word of God and quit being aware of being drawn into the affairs of this life. The enemy is good about that. And God, all the time in His faithfulness, is bringing us, if we'll look at the things of this life, through the eyes of the Word of God, through the eyes of enlightened eyes of understanding, with the eyes and the lenses of the Apostle Paul. Amen. You won't be down, you'll be up. You won't be discouraged, you'll be positive. You'll be so thankful because the coming of the Lord is nigh. You'll see it everywhere. You'll thank the Lord that God, you're so gracious. You're showing us, praise God, your son. You're about to say, go get her, son. Go get her. Now, this is going to be the end of the church age. The Gentile time is going to be fulfilled. And there are so many signs of this coming. But I really believe in many ways right now, if we're paying attention, this might even exceed them all. There's no coincidence that over this past year or so, or a couple of years, the embassy for the United States moved to Jerusalem. Of all the things, why are they messing with that? Oh, it's just because it's politics. No, it's not. It's the Word of God. Start seeing this in the Word of God. And quit being swayed by all of the noise. See what man can help but do, but what God said that they would do. So here now you have that. And that's an important thing. Because by putting that there, there's a they're recognizing now that Jerusalem is the capital. And it's the capital of Israel. Israel, Jacob, the tribes, all of that. Bam, it's there. And then here, it's no coincidence, another peace agreement with another Arab country, the United Arab Emirates, that they just right soon here signed, and they're all excited about. But most of all, what's speaking of here is the longing, and it makes me sad. The world's ripe to receive one who's going to usher in peace. And I'm not sad for the world. As Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for the ones that the Father has given me. And that's who I'm a little bit sad for. And here's why. This world is ripe to receive one that's going to usher in peace. This world is longing after an appearance. This world is longing after fair speech. This world is longing after, and I want you to know God gave me this long time back, a nice man, a mouth that's going to speak great things, that's going to say, I'm going to bring you peace, I'm going to bring you plenty, and I'm going to bring you unity. I'm glad I can hear a pin drop in here today. I hope there's some goosebumps popping right now. We're so near. Don't know how God's going to turn these things, but I know one thing. He's turning a heart that's looking for Him. Now, this Antichrist is going to be embraced by all. And as a nation and as the world right now, I believe there's a crying out. And the sad part is, it's not a crying out for God. Oh, no, it's not. It's a crying out for the one that will bring and give every man that which is right in his own eyes. Think of where we're at. We're being given, everybody just do what's right in your own eyes. Now, for years, we've seen, and it hasn't been hidden, man has been rejecting the truth. It's just accelerating. It's come to the point where it's a belligerent rejection. And I'm speaking of the truth and the people of truth. Very critical to people that love the Lord. To the point to where basically we're called anything and everything. They hated me. They'll hate you. Now, it's getting quieter, and I'm liking this. But now, not only is man rejecting the truth, man is starting to believe the lie. Now, what lie is that? Go back on over to Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, this is the lie that we begin to read about in verse 25 of chapter 1. This is speaking of this time, who changed the truth of God into a lie. So there's the lie. Changing the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Once again, where are we? We are completely at the servitude of man. We're trying to give to man everything that's right in his own eyes. It's become good God, good devil, good everybody. It's exactly this. This is exactly what God said, that man without God, this is all he can be and all he will become. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Vile. I look at this world, I look at our country, I believe there's great vile growing. Amen. Great vile.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is a mind that's unable to discern what's right from wrong. It's a mind that is unfit. And that mind will do the things which are not convenient. They're not fit. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. I'd like to read a translation from the 28th verse, and it goes like this. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing as their creator, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are improper and repulsive until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness and wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, mean-spirited. They are gossips, spreading lies, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient, disrespectful to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, without pity. Although they know God's righteous decree and his judgment that those who do such things deserve death, yet they not only do those things, but they even enthusiastically approve and tolerate and encourage others to practice them. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, elect of God, we had better wake up. We had better wake up. You don't want to have to wake up after the bride is taken. You don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be me. But God, because he is so merciful, he said that even the elect would be deceived, but for him. Now, I understand that's a time that even goes into the tribulation. But God in his mercy is still ministering this right now to the elect of God. That, you know what? We weren't vessels prepared to go into that wrath. God didn't intend for us to go into the tribulation. He didn't. He didn't. This is why this message is being spoken today to us who believe, to anyone who's hearing this. You were not born of God to enter into the tribulation. You weren't. He does not want you to. He tells you time and time again, over and over, that doesn't have to be you. You're children of the light. You don't need to be slumbering. You don't need to be out. You need, by the grace of God, this is your calling. This is what you were chosen for.
This is what I've called you to. This is that precious gospel as we began today. Paul said, you have been given my gospel. You've been called to my gospel. Praise God, you've been chosen to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord. Brethren, we best begin to stand and withstand those that are standing, and those that are withstanding having done all to stand. Because I'll tell you what, there's a compromise going on, and there is. There's a compromise, and it's not going to work. And the sad thing is you're compromising your home. You're compromising your children. You don't stand in this gospel. What do you think? What hope does your generation have? It doesn't have a hope. It doesn't. Without this word, which is the abounding of hope to them that believe, by the encouraging and unction of the Holy Ghost, it's not going to be. It'll fade away. It'll be just like those generations of the kings. David witnessing to his son Solomon how wonderful and how encouraged he was. But yet he did not lay hold of it like his father. And that very next generation departed from God. God in his faithfulness ministered to generations on down the line. But I'll tell you what, this is the generation that we got. And by the grace of God, to be standing and ready for it. That there isn't any other life or living that we have, but to be ready for the appearing of the Lord. Now, brethren, I take that as not to be discouraged. Yes, a false peace is just about ready to come upon this world. It's going to be ushered in. Many Christians are saying, oh my, you know, when that happens, you know, it's going to be over. Praise God, that's right. It's going to be over, but it's just going to be beginning over there. See, that's the issue here is what are you hearing and what are you believing? When you see these things come to pass, look up. Praise God. This truly should be the most exciting moment of our lives. As Christians, I know it's pressing. I know it ain't easy. I'm tired of looking at Mass too. I'm done. But yet God said, this is for you. Huh? I know Moses felt that way. Well, you told us you're going to get us out of here. I'm done. I'm going to rise up my own strength and take care of one of these fellows. And then he was hightailing it out of there for 40 years on the backside of a desert. I don't want to reject what he's given. Oh, yes. This isn't the time to be down. This truly is the time. Look into the word of God. When the people of God began to turn away, it was the champions of faith that turned in. They looked to God. They didn't look to one another. They looked to God. And those couple, 3, 4, sometimes 300 that looked to God, then they were together. But it was always because, by the grace of God, they looked to him. They saw his word. They saw that he is forever, forever, forever faithful and true. Praise God. It's impossible to be separated from him. He told us that he'll never forsake us. And if I be for you, who could be against you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the time has come, praise God, for them that believe. I know by the word of God, I'll tell you what, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. But he that shall come, I'm so thankful to Jesus, it's like he's here. It's like he's here. And I'm believing that, hallelujah. You look at the world and what's going on right now. I turn on the TV a little bit. And, you know, it's interesting to see. Every sport, all them mighty venues, they're empty. Every single one of them, all over the world, not one person in them stadiums and all of that. They're all following the same script. It's the same script. And this isn't a rehearsal.
If you do not think that in a moment of time that this world couldn't be locked down, you're living in denial. And I was so thankful that the Lord touched my heart. He said, honey, this time of lockdown is not for safety. This time of lockdown is for you to wake up. And to wake up and say, God is faithful. It's marvelous. God is faithful. And I thank the Lord. You know, I would say something that to somebody and they say, oh, you're just a conspiracy guy. I'd say it's biblical. The world order is coming to light. I pray you really know that. No, it's not. Now, again, that doesn't mean I'm going out and buying more guns. It doesn't mean that I'm buying extra food. I have not done any excavating in my backyard for a bunker. I always kind of smile and I think, what are you doing? If anything, I'm not buying anymore. I'm just looking up. It's time to be thankful, isn't it? Not to be fearful. So many of God's precious people trying to figure out how they're going to survive. Oh my, that's so sad. I want to live for the appearing of the Lord. I believe what he says. Do we not believe what he says? Or is it just something, again, that we've heard and wondered about and, you know, that's great and we get excited about it. I was exercising the other day, and I don't mean to be kind of funny, but I just thought it was so sweet to my heart. He said, well, son, you can read this word. You can read this word like we're right now. We're going back into the Old Testament times looking at David's tabernacle, so wonderful and all that. And you can read it as history. There's so many Christians that can recite it. No, I want to read it as the mystery. See, I want to see what's in there. You understand that? And I've got to have Paul's enlightened eyes of understanding. Not that I magnify Paul, but that was given to him. He was that chosen vessel. You have to see it through that. Again, you can look through this and say, well, I know the story. Or I'm looking in this and I'm going to say, by the grace of God, I want to be that glory. And that's the truth. And it's not to be funny, but it's truth. It's exactly what it is. I can just read through it and I can know history and I can know story. Or I can know the mystery and transform into his glory. Reading the same thing, being in the same scriptures. But what am I looking at it through? And am I praying and saying, Lord, ignite it in my heart. God, let me be convinced in heart fully, not doubting. See, that comes into, back to, as the word says, and it's so beautiful, faith like a child. The mature ones have faith like a child. That wisdom my dad spoke to me, my natural dad, when I was a kid, I still believe it. And it's worked for me. Because it was true. How much more so our Heavenly Father? Just because I grow older, don't grow dumber. Grow more in faith like a child. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad, I didn't listen to you. And you're right. This Father is always right. Never wrong. Impossible for him to lie to you. Everything else will lie to you. That's why I encourage Christians, know the word of God. Don't be afraid when you hear rightfully divide the word. Well, that's just this opinion. No, it's not. Rightfully divide the word of God. Just read the word under the encouragement of the Holy Ghost. Take these things line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept. There's one thing that all of it will build into, the masterpiece, the bride for the Lamb. That's it. It can't build into anything but. It's going to be exactly that. Now, I say with the faithful, as I see these things, brothers and sisters, in the Word of God, I'm persuaded that he's able. Can you really say that today? Really? Come on now. I'm persuaded that he is able. to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. Committed unto him against that day. And by the grace of God, I'm so thankful because of this gospel, I've committed unto him that I'll be a readied wife for the Lamb. That's it. I'm persuaded that he's able, not Jesse, but he is. I've taken his word as it's true. He's not lying to me. I believe you, Lord. I understand I'm a vessel of mercy. Get that, folks. The exact extreme opposite of what you deserve. And by the works of your hands, by the works of your flesh, you're not going to bring anything to God. Just as I am. Lord, clothe this vessel of mercy with all the riches of your glory. And I thank God that I'm committing it all to him to be the Lamb's wife. I'm committing it to him by the grace of God to keep me from the hour of tribulation. I'm not doing things planning on my extended stay here. I'm not. I don't want to. I thank the Lord as God has given us, even in Proverbs and things of that nature. You have something, you can lay it up for your children's children. Says it right there. It's the truth. But that's not my investment. My investment's him. And I've committed, praise God, that I believe, you know what? He's given me an ear. He's given me an ear to hear the trump of God, the voice of the archangel. And I'm telling you what, I started to hear that, man, almost 40 years ago, 17 years old, out in a parking lot. Rise up, my love, my fair one. I believe that was really the first time I ever heard that. Rise up, my love, my fair one. And you know what the beauty of it is? I've been hearing it louder and louder ever since. Ever since, sis. And I'm hearing it now, today, like he's just on the next hill. And I'm waiting for two words. Just two more. Come away. Come away. It's almost here. Let's pray. Let's just stand and worship him for a bit here today. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. You praise you. Oh, God, I'm on the wing. I'm on the wing. Oh, my coming draweth near. Oh, I am he. I am he that formed thee in the womb. Oh, I am he that has loved you with an everlasting love. I am that I am. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, God. Oh, praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. I'm awake. I'm awake in Jesus. I'm alive and I'm remaining. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Oh, God, let us be drunk on the Spirit. God, truly give us that cup, Lord God, that bubbles over. God, let us just open up, Lord, to you and this beauty and goodness, Lord. The revelation, God, of your desire, your heart, the inner chamber, Lord God. That veil's been written twain. My goodness, all we got is a holy of holies. Lord, and we come in boldly and thank you this morning, rejoicing, God, in the goodness of your grace. Lord, the marvels of your mercy that you chose us, Lord God. And what a calling. Oh, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we also reign together. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Your word is true. In Jesus' name.